Hello, I'm Rob Buckingham, and welcome to the Digging Deeper podcast, episode 93. We dig deep into topics and questions each week to discover what the Bible says. Last week, I answered some commonly asked questions about divine healing. If you've not listened to that episode yet, I encourage you to do so. In this episode, I'll respond to some more questions. Is it a lack of faith for a Christian to see a doctor? And should I throw away my medicines as a step of faith? But first, why isn't everyone healed when they're prayed for? Let's find out. Why isn't everyone healed when they're prayed for? And I'll lead you again to James chapter 5, because there's a lot said in James chapter 5 about physical healing. So James chapter 5 from verse 13, and have a read of this in your own time as well. And he asks some questions here. Question number one is anyone in trouble? And his solution is, let them pray. Question two, is anyone happy? The solution, let them sing songs of praise. Question three, is anyone among you sick? The solution, let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So great recipe there. In trouble, pray. Happy, sing. Sick, call for the elders of the church. Get them to anoint you with oil and pray for you in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And that's interesting because you would think that the Lord raising them up meant that every time they were physically healed, but that's not the case. It might be the case that they are raised up physically by a supernatural, miraculous, complete physical healing that is either instantaneous or a gradual process, and healing can be both. A miracle is always instant, but a healing is invariably a process. And so I always say to people when I pray for them, I say, now, you know, well, as you go from this, just keep believing that God has started a work in you. But you don't have to go around saying, I'm better now. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. No, just face the facts. Keep taking your medication and all of that kind of stuff and trusting God that he's going to complete that process. The Lord will raise you up. There's also another meaning to the Lord will raise them up, and that's a raising up spiritually through physical death and resurrection. When someone is raised up by the Lord through physical death, they're ushered into eternal life, an eternal life without sickness and pain and sorrow and crying, a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And ultimately, that is healing. That's the ultimate healing. I always pray for people for healing and for life. If God brings physical healing, I don't take the glory. And if God doesn't heal them, I don't take the blame. Our responsibility as followers of Jesus and as believers in God is to pray in faith. God's work is to raise up the sick person either physically or spiritually according to his sovereign will and foreknowledge. A couple of other passages from the scriptures before I finish this up. There's a wonderful thought in Isaiah the prophet, chapter 57 and verses 1 and 2, and it says this, the righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Wow. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. An amazing thought there, isn't it? You see, God sees the end of our life from the beginning. And what Isaiah is prophesying here is that there are times when God will take away righteous people because he wants to spare them from evil to come. He looks through their life and he goes, wow, if they were to live longer, all of this really awful stuff would happen. And so out of my love and grace, I'm actually going to take them home to be with me now. So the righteous perish. This is Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perish. No one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away. No one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. And then it talks about those who walk uprightly. What happens to them? Well, they enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. You see, for the believer in God, for the follower of Jesus, death is not the end and it's not an enemy. It's an ushering in from one degree of life to the next. And so I encourage you to meditate on those verses. Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2, absolutely wonderful truth. Paul goes into something very similar in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 to 25. At one stage, the Apostle Paul wasn't sure if his death was imminent or not. I'm not sure what the background was here. He was in prison in Philippi. This was the first of three imprisonments. And maybe he was thinking that this was it. You know, he was going to be put to death. He was going to suffer the death penalty. He wasn't. Eventually, he was released and he kept on living. But he writes this fascinating thing to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. And he says, I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. What's happened to him was that he's been stuck in jail. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So he says, if I'm living, I'm going to glorify Jesus. If I'm dying, I'm going to glorify Jesus. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your faith. And so he's kind of wrestling with this. It looks confusing as you read it, but he's in prison and he's wrestling with this. Am I going to live? Am I going to die? I think I'm going to live. I think I actually need to live. I've pioneered churches. I've brought people to become followers of Jesus Christ. God, I think I need to stick around and look after these people. I know it would be far better if I just died here in jail and went to be with Jesus, but really I think I need to stay. And he did stay. And he was released from jail and he planted more churches and visited his churches and encouraged the people. And he went to jail a second time. And then he was released and pioneered more churches and encouraged the believers and wrote letters. And eventually he was in prison the third time in Rome, where he was for about 2 years before he was finally executed under Nero. And so we need to develop the same eternal perspective as Paul. We are strangers and pilgrims on earth, after all. We're just passing through. And so that answers that question, why isn't everyone healed when they're prayed for? Let's keep a really healthy perspective. Is it a lack of faith for a Christian to see a doctor? The answer to this question is a resounding no. And I also believe the answer is found for us in James 5, which refers to prayer and anointing with oil. And so verse 14 of James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. In this verse, we see a wonderful link between faith and medicine in three words: pray, anoint, and oil. Prayer here is about seeking God first for the answer to any need that we might have in life, that we always prioritize our relationship with God. The word anoints in the Greek literally means to pour or massage. And so in ancient times, invariably to anoint someone with oil, they would literally pour the flagon of aromatic oil on the head of the person. It's likely that the woman who anointed Jesus about 3 days before he was crucified literally just poured this ointment over him. It would have been dripping down his hair, his beard, and over his garments. Same with Aaron when he was anointed as the priest of Israel. Moses and the other elders would have taken aromatic oil and literally tipped it over Aaron's head, and it would run down his hair and his beard, dripping over his clothes. And it, wherever he went in the days following, he would take that fragrance with him. That word also means to massage. And I don't think that means that all elders in churches need to take a massage course. Just want to kind of clear that up here. But it does suggest a link between faith and medicine. In the scriptures, oil is often used for medicinal purposes. Think about the Good Samaritan, for example, when he found this Jewish guy beaten up, left for dead on the side of the road. He took him off to a hotel and he cared for him. And part of the care was medicinal. And so Luke chapter 10 and verse 34 says that he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And so what he did was take medicinal things, oil, wine, pour it into the wounds to cleanse them and bandage those wounds up to protect them from becoming infected. And so he didn't lay hands on him and pray for him. He took care of him medicinally. Similarly, Paul wrote to Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. That's 1 Timothy 5:23. I find that fascinating. So Paul, who did lay hands on people, who people experienced supernatural healing and miracles through Paul's ministry, but in this particular case, he doesn't say, well, Timothy, pray. He doesn't quiz him with condemnation. Well, Timothy, you're a man of God. Why are you sick? Timothy, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. Or maybe you've got sin in your life and you need to check that out. No. He just gives him a practical medicinal cure. Maybe there was something wrong with the drinking water where he was. And so stop drinking only water and use a little wine. Why? Because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. So it looks like he had some sort of gastrointestinal condition. Maybe it was an ongoing thing because it was frequent. And Paul writes very practical advice here to Timothy. God is not anti-doctors and medical science. Luke, the author of the gospel that bears his name, is called the beloved physician by Paul in Colossians 4 and verse 4. I used to go to a doctor many years ago, and she was a Christian lady. She was a wonderful GP. And on her card, her medical card, it said, doctors treat, God heals. And I used to love going to Dr. Lynn. She was absolutely fabulous. I don't see her these days. I see another doctor who's closer to home. But I would go to see Dr. Lynn, and she would treat me. And then at the end of the treatment, she would lay hands on me and pray for me. And I love that synergy between medicine and faith, and she did that so very well. Medically trained people exercise the gift of healing every day. And I want to shout out to anyone who is medically trained, be you a doctor, nurse, a specialist, whatever the case might be. If you are medically trained, you are exercising a divine gift of healing every day in the people that you treat. Medically trained people treat many conditions very successfully. They also diagnose a condition which can then be prayed about more specifically. And also, I know that doctors can confirm a healing has taken place. And that's certainly something that we have practiced over the years. Anyone that claims a healing, we always encourage them to go back to their GP or specialist and get it checked out. You know, it's very easy to say, I'm healed. And this person's, you know, I've come across pastors and evangelists over the years, and they've said, oh, so-and-so is healed of this, that, and the other. But I always think it's wonderful when there is actual proof. And it's a very powerful thing. We've sent people back to their specialist or to their GP, and the healing or the miracle has then been confirmed. And the person has come back to us and said, yes, my doctor said that this has happened. I think of one case where it was very dramatic. There was cancer on the bone of this lady's leg, and we had the x-rays and everything. She then asked for the laying on of hands, the anointing of oil by the pastors of our church. We laid hands on her, we anointed her with oil, and then she went back to her specialist a little bit of time later and had another scan, full body scan. And the outcome of that was that the specialist says, I don't know what's happened. You clearly had bone cancer. Now you don't. And, you know, sometimes they're reticent doctors to say there's a miracle, but this person said, well, I can't explain it. And so there was a very definite healing that took place, and that was confirmed by a medical specialist. Also, another example here, Jesus told a man who suffered from leprosy, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Although priests were not doctors, they would diagnose and inform a community whether a person was clean or unclean. And so if the person was suspected of having a skin disease like leprosy or other skin diseases, they were declared unclean and then their life completely changed. They had to leave their home. They had to live in wilderness areas. They used to have to carry a bell. And if other people were coming near, they would ring the bell to warn them not to come close. And so it led to social isolation for these people. And so you can imagine, like this man, the context of this story, who had leprosy, and he went to Jesus and Jesus prayed for him and he was healed. And so he goes off to the priest, and the priest would then declare the person clean or unclean. If the priest inspected this particular man and he was clean, he would then make the sacrifice that Moses commanded. That's recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 4. The man would then be declared officially and ceremonially clean and then allowed to return to his community. What a wonderful day that would be. How absolutely amazing. The priest's testimony here too would also authenticate the miracle and show that Jesus really did have the power to heal incurable diseases. Even though medical science continues to advance incredibly, it still has its limitations. Sometimes when doctors can't help, God steps in. Sometimes God does not intervene. I don't know why, but I do know that it is not a lack of faith for a Christian to see a doctor.
We hope you're enjoying this Digging Deeper podcast and finding help understanding the scriptures and how they apply to life. Here at Digging Deeper, we'd appreciate your help letting others know about this podcast. One way to do this is by rating and reviewing the podcast on the platform you're listening on. And please, like Rob Buckingham's public figure page on Facebook. You can interact with us there and ask questions you'd like Rob to answer in future episodes of Digging Deeper. Now back to Rob.
Should I throw away my medicines as a step of faith? Absolutely not. Medicines are one of the ways that God brings healing to people. Many medicines are found in nature. So in other words, God created them. The scriptures tell us that every good and perfect gift comes from God, including medical science. In fact, I often see these things as it's almost like a divine treasure hunt, that in creation, God has hidden the cures to every disease that humanity would ever come up against. And then he's basically said to people, go find them. And so on a regular basis, people find something that's a cure. Sometimes that cure then cures something else, and, you know, and then new things are discovered and so on and so forth. And all of these things are placed in creation by an intelligent designer. I also think it can be highly dangerous to take yourself off some medications. And so it's really important if you are on medication and you want to come off it for whatever reason, you go and discuss it with your doctor first. Don't do it on your own. It's really, really important. And I think that's wise advice. Are all illnesses, particularly mental illness, demonic in origin? And this question, I think it's a really sad question, actually. When I first came to faith in Jesus in the late 70s and early 80s, There was, a lot of ignorance about mental illnesses. People were still incarcerated in mental institutions, and they had guards. So it really was like a prison. And fortunately, we don't have systems like that in place anymore. Sometimes I think we actually don't have enough systems in place to care for those who live with terrible mental illness. I still think many of them need to be protected from themselves. And of course, society, if the person is particularly violent, also needs to be protected. But there was a belief when I first became a Christian that mental illness was a demon. And so it's a horrible thing to say to somebody that because they have a sickness or a mental illness or whatever, well, you know, you need deliverance. And if you're delivered of this demon, then you'll be made well. Now, that could be the case, but I found more times than not, it is not the case. And I love what Matthew writes for us in chapter 4 of his gospel. This is verses 23 and 24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. I want you to notice those five categories of people. And you really, I think, they could be broad descriptions for the majority of physical and mental things that people live with, even to this day. People who were ill with various diseases, that's a really big umbrella term. And then, of course, there are those who are suffering from severe pain. And my heart goes out to people like that. My wife is one of them. With the condition that she is living with. It's an autoimmune condition. And she is invariably in severe pain. She keeps going with life as much as she possibly can, but she's invariably in a lot of pain. And my heart goes out to people who suffer from conditions like that. And then category number three is the demon possessed. And so I'm not saying that there isn't demon possession, but then category number four is those having seizures or sudden attacks of a particular disorder. And then the final one is the paralyzed. And so the truth, I think, here is revealed in Scripture is that not everything is a demon. And as Christians, I think that we should probably go to the whole devil-demon thing absolutely last. I get concerned by listening to some Christians, and they're always, you know, the devil did this and this demon's that, and their devil is so big and their God is so small. And really, you know, the devil and demons shouldn't be in our language, or very rarely. Just like not everything's a demon. And so go to other stuff first.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. A new episode of Digging Deeper is out every Wednesday. If you like this podcast, please share it with others and rate and review it. That goes a long way to help others find us. Join us next week when Pastor Rob does a deep dive into what the Bible teaches about the interaction between Scripture and the Holy Spirit. All that and more on next week's episode of Digging Deeper.